get card from Backstreet Boys.
Shout out to Boy Band Break.
It's Chris Kirkpatrick here. Shout out to your podcast, Boy Band Break.
Hey, everybody, this is Howie D, and I'm listening to Boy Band Break.
Hi, Ashley Parker Angel here. Huge shout out to the Boy Band Break podcast.
This is Brad from LFO, and you are listening to Boy Band Break.
Hey, what's up? This is Jacob.
It's Dan.
What's up? It's Trevor.
And it's Eric Michael, and it's time for Boy Band Break, baby. Let's go!
Welcome back to Boy Band Break, where we encourage you to take a break from your day and join us in some boy band conversation. As always, I'm Chinzia.
I'm Sophia.
And Lydia, aka Mama Lou, is off this week. We had a very busy week for those of you who are not following us on our own independent social media things. So last week, we had our 7th annual plus size clothing swap.
Yes.
Buy, sell, swap. Yes. So then, so we've done this for 7 years. We finally found like a really nice big venue. It's great. It's a lot of work. So that's why we weren't able to put out an episode last week. So we apologize for that. Thank you for all who listened to some old episodes. We have 250 episodes, guys. So we have lots to listen to. So feel free to scroll back. If you're thinking, man, I really would like to hear something about NSYNC. Look in sync, and we got like 5 episodes. Look back, we got tons of Backstreet. We got some of our earlier one memories.
We have O-Town.
We have
New Kids
interview.
On the Block.
We do. So we have lots of, you know what? We even have an interview with Pollyanna DeRoe, which is Howie's sister.
See?
From the Backstreet.
We have a Jason. See?
You have so many things to look through. Just go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/boybandbreak. Normally, we have every new episodes every Sunday, and then if we ever end up going to any concerts or anything, or Comic-Con conventions and stuff, we'll tend to like put up stuff from when we're there, so you can experience it as well. So
review
check
it,
that out.
Right?
We have lots of O-Town footage. We have boy band panels from 90s Con for 2 years. We have lots of
we
fun
have Drake,
things.
The Drake video with BSB. I wanted
our
that
most
one.
Viral. Most viral video with over 400,000 views. Backstreet Boys.
That's
and
right.
On
it helped. He helped
July
us get subscribers
year.
As well.
So there you go. So thank you to anyone who subscribed after seeing that video and have stayed for a full year. So there you go.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Okay. So yeah. So anyway, so it was a very busy week getting ready for this. Sophia came and stayed overnight and helped us as we do. Our new tradition the night before the clothing swap is to drive around in darkness and put up signs.
Yes.
So, actually,
we've done it
Lydia's
a few years
Kenny
now, actually.
This year, so Sophia was the co-pilot, and Lydia and Kenny were the ones running out and putting the signs up in the dark, trying not to get hit by cars. But the signs work, and a lot of people at the swaps said they saw the pink colorful signs, so they came. So.
Yes, lots of great feedback from the signs.
Yes, it was good. It was good. It was our biggest ever. We had almost 60 vendors, which is amazing. And yeah, it went smoothly. It was still.
It did.
Well, a couple of things to change for next year when we didn't, because we've never had that many vendors before. But overall, tons of positive feedback. I spent a really long time. I had a vision in my head about making a Barbie box photo op booth thing. And I'm like, that would be really cute if they try on their outfits and they go to take a picture of the Barbie box. Just because you see things on the internet doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to turn out well, guys. So I spent a ridiculous amount of money on foam core from the dollar store, which is not the kind that they recommended on the internet because it's not as thick. And then I idiotically decided I would paint it, which the paint did not take well. And I did like 4 coats and then it started warping the thing. And then I should have just put like wrapping paper or something on there. Would have been, but you know what? It turned out okay-ish. So we took some pictures and then by the end of the day, it was pretty much whatever. It was fine.
It was fun in the moment.
Effort was made, guys. An effort was made. So also very excited to see the Barbie movie when it comes out at the end of the month.
I'm also excited.
Should be cute. Should be fun. Apparently, they just had the LA premiere, and everyone's saying that Ryan Gosling was awesome in it and all this other stuff. So apparently it's very cute.
Apparently he stole the show, so I'm really looking forward to that.
So, which I'm sure makes all the Barbies feel great. Once again, the man has taken over. Anyway.
Well, it is Ken, right? Come on.
That's true. It's just Ken. Okay, so anyways, that's why I have a whole bunch of junk behind me, because I still have not put it away yet from the clothing swap, but there you go. Apologies. And then that's full-size Edward Cullen cutout with his head cut off. I don't know if you can... Oh, there he is, keeping an eye on the random shit I collect over the years, guys. I'm sorry.
That is also what scares you every time, even when you try to scare others.
I'm just about it. If any of you have ever had a cardboard cutout, let me tell you, it scares the shit out of me all the time, because... And we used to prank each other. So like when Lydia used to live here, obviously, when we were younger, I would take the Edward Cullen cutout and put it in her like room, just like right after you open the door. So just like another foot behind that. So then she would open it and be like, ha! And then she would change it and put it back in my room, scare me. Then I would see that it was there, exit my room, come back into my room, and then get scared immediately by that. Also hit him in the shower a few times to scare. So
you also did that with us.
Sophia was sleeping over. I put it outside her door. So
and then you scared yourself to even put it there. It was quite entertaining.
Listen, I'm not a very observant person. I scare myself quite easily all the time. I always think I see things out of the corner of my eye or a person, and it's not.
It did not scare me, but it scared Chinzia. Yeah. So in the end, who really did win?
Not me. Okay. We are 6 minutes in and we got a lot to talk about today. So this is one of the episodes we wanted to do a while ago. So as you know, on this podcast, we are big fans of Lance Bass and his husband, Michael Turkey Turchin, and their podcast, Frosted Tips with Lance Bass. So one of the people that we have chatted about in the past that we'd like really like to get on this show, because we really don't know a lot about them, Johnny Wright. And who did Lance have on his podcast? Johnny Wright.
He's a very fascinating person, because you don't hear a lot about him.
Super interesting. Obviously, you guys know him. He's worked with all of like the major boy bands, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, apparently now 98 Degrees. He's worked with Jonas Brothers, Aaron Carter, Britney Spears, all these people. So like Johnny Wright he obviously worked very closely with Lou Pearlman. So, like, we're just like, is he sketchy like Lou Pearlman? Is he not? I don't know. So there's a lot of, like, things. And we actually ran into him. Was that 2019?
Yes. In Ottawa.
When we were in Ottawa. So we were, like, hanging out backstage before the meet and greet with the Backstreet Boys at the, what was that called? Ottawa Blues Festival?
Ottawa Blues Fest.
So it was, like, this big festival. And then very last minute, they just said, oh, we're going to do meet and greets. And then we're like, okay, but you know, like big festivals, you have to go in advance and get a good spot and all that stuff. Turns out that, these random upgrades we got, they ended up putting like a little area that we got to go into. So we didn't have to like wait
around. They actually put a pit
because we didn't think they would do the pit because like they didn't have it at any of their shows on this festival. And then it was like a very last minute thing. So we're like, oh, okay, cool. We can like wander around. So we were backstage. I was also very excited because one of my favorite Backstreet bodyguards, Josh, had come back after leaving to go to work with Justin Timberlake, which is one of my least favorite people. So I was like, oh my God, Josh is here. And then I see this guy walk, and then Francesco Yates had walked by, and he's a Canadian artist. And I was just like, that dude looks like Johnny Wright. Is that Johnny Wright? And then you said, yes, it is. And I was like, do you want to go see him? And then you said, no, I do not. And then I was like, well, I do. So
as he was coming back. He was walking away. I didn't think we had a chance. But like before, it's better to just go by yourself and then
just go. So he started coming back. And I was like, Johnny? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, can I grab a picture with you? And he's like, sure. And then he like took a picture with me and then walked away. And then our friend Nikki's like, as soon as I saw Johnny Wright, I knew you were going to go take a picture with him. I was like, yes, I am.
So, of course. Why not?
I legitimately entirely forgot about that until right this second as I started talking, because otherwise I would have had the picture up.
Yes.
Hold on. Give me
one. It's on Facebook.
I think it is on Facebook. So that's
20. I think it was like Ottawa Blues Fest, possibly.
Ottawa Bound to see Mary and the Backstreet Boys.
Yes. It was quite the experience to be backstage like that.
That was a fun festival. Oh, did we not put that there? Was that one in that?
Oh, I thought you did. It should be there.
Just pictures that my mom posted.
Don't you have one as well?
I might have just posted it without it actually going in an album. This is before I started putting things in albums, guys. This is sad.
Right. Can you put it in a search bar? Your name and then Johnny Wright? And then your name?
I wonder if I put it on Instagram. Probably not.
Oh, maybe.
I'm also really bad with Instagram and forgetting to use that. So, one second.
I try to use Instagram more.
I know. You are very good at keeping track of photos and where things go.
I'm just like, I need to do this. I don't know why. I feel like Facebook is not as good as it used to be.
Yes, so I definitely did not put it on Instagram. Maybe I put it in our boy band group.
Maybe.
Boy band break page. Sorry, this is not interesting to anybody at all. I apologize.
Did you also maybe on your social media, possibly? Your social Twitter? I don't know.
You'd think I would put things where people can see them.
I was trying to remember like where you had it, but yeah, it's not ringing a bell where else it could be.
No idea. That was the cruise. That was that. It's Chris in Nashville. That was fun. Ah, found it. Haha.
Yes.
I look terrible in this picture. Sorry for anyone who was waiting with bated breath for this, but it's not.
You're fine. You look fine.
There he is. Johnny Wright, music manager.
Didn't you always, I feel like you say this a lot, like, was that your side that you liked taking a photo on, or was that
the No, I hate that side. See, I have one side where I have really cute bangs, and I have one side where I have, and I believe I might have been holding a bag of popcorn at the time or something, so I did not have enough hands, but I was just like, okay, whatever. So,
but yeah, that's a good photo.
About those glasses. Josh lost them in a river.
Aww.
Okay, anyways.
Well, yes, at least you have a photo to remember them.
Then I have a photo, yes. And I really like this cherry dress. Also really appreciate that my tit is falling out and now my bra is showing. But, you know, all good. There you go, Johnny Wright.
Well, you nice shared it to everyone to see, so
there you go. Huzzah. Anyways, that is what today's episode is about. I actually listened to this episode a couple of times, but every time I was listening, I was either driving or showering or something, and I did not write notes. So I listened to it again this afternoon and wrote, as per usual, a really large amount of notes. So
I also listened to it, but I did not write notes. So I hope Chinzia's notes will jog my memory.
Jog your memory. Feel free to jump in at any time.
Yes.
Okay, so it starts off, and also a big shout out to Lance and Michael for shouting our podcast out on their Trevor Guthrie episode with Decision, which I thought was pretty cool because he's also.
It was very nice of them to do.
It was very nice of them.
And it's pinned on our Instagram, so go check it out if you want to.
We did keep the clip, and on our YouTube, I think it's under those short little YouTube shorts or whatever.
Yes.
Giving us a shout out. So thank you to that. Okay. And like literally, if you want to hear about any boy band, they have so many boy band interviews on there. Please go check them out because
there's some really good interviews. Really good. Like he got Donnie Wahlberg. Like I don't think he does many interviews, so that's pretty cool.
Wow. Good question. New Menudo is there too. They just drop back. Anyways, okay. So it starts off where they're talking that Turkey had just gone back from Miami. His grandmother had passed away. So
sorry for his loss.
So they said that she did a fun funeral. I don't know, but it was like, I guess she was born, like she lived in New Orleans. So it was like very New Orleans style and it had lots of food and it had musicians and it was like a great event. So they were kind of like chatting like, oh, you should be able to have your funeral before you die. So then you can like hang out with your people and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I guess. You could also just have a birthday party and do that.
right. It doesn't have to be somber.
No, yeah. But also, yeah, that's actually kind of, they had mentioned, like, you know, if you're in hospice, you should be able to plan things out. I was like, yeah, I guess that is a really good point. I feel like I would want to. I feel like I would be, like, one of those, if I knew I was dying, I would probably, like, record a message from beyond the grave and, like.
Can you imagine?
Be like, hello.
And then, like, say a little something to each person.
And you're like, you, I never liked you. No. Did you see that lady?
Because then they could, like, throw dirt at you. They could, like, throw something on you. Oh, well, I guess it didn't really matter because you're already, like, in the ground. But still.
No, I had this, like, vision when I was younger. Like, I thought about my death a lot for some reason. I don't know. I'm just a weirdo. But I was just like, yeah, I want, like, my own, like, mausoleum crypt thing. And I want to have, like, an interactive, like, display. So that
yes, I recall,
like,
this.
You would see,
yes,
like, my autographs of my celebrities. And then you'd press a button. And then I would tell you about my experiences meeting them and stuff like that. And just kind of, like, go through that. So I'm like, obviously that. And then my mom would be like, that's going to cost a lot of money. And
I know. What is that kind of money?
But technology has changed since I was in high school. And now
that is true.
A little QR code there, and it can go to a website where you have all this information. You don't know.
That's true.
Maybe by the time we die, they'll be like, we could have a hologram of us. I have no idea.
That is very true.
Really,
anything is possible.
But yes. Anyway, so... yeah. So then they also said they had just come back from Austin, Texas, because they were visiting some of their friends out there. And they're thinking about maybe moving there because they originally thought maybe Nashville, but now they think Austin. A lot of their besties have moved there. And then they talked about, for some reason, going to a T-ball game. And then they talked that there was, like, a celebrity dad who's an actor, but they didn't say who he was. So I was trying to figure out who it is, but I have no clue at all. But he's only,
yeah, they don't like to give out names because they don't want to embarrass them just in case,
yeah,
they don't want to be.
So it was just,
yeah,
cool. But apparently this guy was in a really big movie when we were in high school or whatever. Now he's there. He has somehow grown an accent, even though he's never had an accent before, so like a southern drawl. And sometimes he just goes to watch Little League games, even if his child is not playing. So he just takes the family and goes. So apparently it's a very community spirit there. So,
all right, cool.
Then they came in with breaking news because they actually had Dream Street on for an interview a few weeks prior. And they're like, you guys need to do new music, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah, maybe we'll do something. So I guess Dream Street did. So they came out with a new song on June 11th. I have a note here that I was supposed to look up the name of the song. I definitely did not do that. So apologies.
Do you want to do it right now?
Sure.
So is this podcast the catalyst for them doing a song?
Well, that's what they said. They're like, it's because they were on our show that we, like, put this out into the world. And
see, they manifested it. They're like, yeah, let's do this.
Yes.
And they did it.
So, apparently, according to their Wikipedia, their new song is called Smile. So, there you go. You should go check that out. So, Dream
Street. All right, cool.
You're like, who else should we manifest? And then Michael was like, I'll work on getting in sync together. And then we're like, ha, ha, ha.
You're going to be working a long time.
You're going to have to work a little harder than Michael. Not going to happen. But appreciate it. Gotta manifest that out there.
Yes.
Okay, so finally, Johnny Wright is there. So, the intro is... I know, we're 17 minutes in, sorry.
I know.
Okay, so Johnny has managed New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, Britney, Aaron Carter, and more. And he started...
You know what I thought was really cool?
What?
98 Degrees is also with them now.
Yes, I made a note of that at the end, yes. But yes.
Oh, okay, sorry. Because I thought they said them.
I think they might have said at the beginning. I wrote etc. because I was not writing fast enough because Lance was just saying a bunch of names. Yes. So he started in 1988 with Maurice Starr, hired him as a driver. So they're like, okay, bring us back to the beginning. So then he was born
apparently
in Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
Apparently people start as drivers, they were saying.
Yes, that seems to be the thing for, you know, the Lou Pearlman era of people for sure. So
yes.
Get your license if you want to work with boy bands, apparently. So Johnny was born in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. His mom was a church organist. She had a record player that she would always tell him, don't touch this record player. So, of course, anytime she left the house, he would listen to the music on there.
As children do, if you say don't do something, they're going to do it anyway.
They're going to do it for sure. So his favorite, he said there wasn't much to do in town. So on Saturday nights, him and his cousin Sandra would listen to the radio station and you could call in to request a song and the DJ would actually record you like introing the song. So that was like their favorite thing to do, to listen
to the
radio. Remember they used to do that back in the day?
Yeah.
Yes, like Saturday Night All Request Fest and things like that. So yeah, so they definitely started that when we were high school.
Back in the day was so much fun, man.
Definitely not anymore. Now it's all automated.
They're like, whatever. It's like so depressing nowadays.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes. So he wasn't doing so well in high school. He needed some extra credits. And they had a program at his high school that you could work at the radio station for 2 hours. I'm not sure if it was a week or a day for this class. And then it would teach you. So he thought it would teach him how to be on air and like do all the fun stuff. But really, it was kind of teaching you how to be an engineer and all the behind the scenes stuff. So he got his big break in the bathroom, which was another
as one does, really, right?
Like, you know what? Ashley Parker Angel did with Lou. So really, I guess the bathroom.
And artists make songs like sitting on the toilet. So it happens. Yeah.
You like, this song is the shit because it made it.
Apparently
on the
magic happens in the bathroom.
You know, when you're inspired, you're inspired. Exactly. So anyways, he was there and one of the biggest DJs, obviously the guy who worked for the station, was in the bathroom. And he's like, this class is not what you were looking for, was it? He's like, no. He's like, you should come hang out with me on Saturday nights. And Johnny's like, yeah, fuck yeah. That's like what I want to do.
Yeah.
Started hanging out on Saturday nights and he did that for a few weeks. And then at this point in time, so in Canada, we have the CRTC. That is the governing body. So the Canadian Radio Television Communications.
Is it critics?
No, CRTC. Oh. So Canadian Radio Television Corporation. I don't know. So they're the ones who kind of run.
That makes sense.
I should know this because I work in radio. So they're kind of like the regulating body. So like if people have complaints, you go to the CRTC and run the broadcast. Anyways, FCC is in the States. So they're the ones who give like the licenses to run radio stations. They can take your license away and things like that, right? So at the time in the 80s when Johnny was there, the FCC said that nobody was allowed in the radio station unless they had a license. So obviously he did not have the license because he didn't work there. So in the meantime, the DJ was like, hey, you know what? Go to the production room, try to put together like a little show, like say your little intros and things like that. And we'll just like try to, and I'll like, essentially it's called sound checking. That's what like the program directors do to their radio hosts, like at least once a week or whatever. They want to make sure that it's sounding good on stuff. So he was like, sure. So he started doing that. But then a car headlights came up and the DJ was like, crap, that's the owner of the station. You can't be here. Get out. So he like ran out the back door, thought nothing of it. So a few days later, the program director was in there trying to record a commercial onto one of the things. And he had noticed that the record thing was still in there, the tracks. And he listened to it and heard Johnny. So he's like, well, who the hell is this? And he's like, oh, it's this intern guy. And he's like, okay, get him to come in. So Johnny was like freaking out because he's like, oh my God, am I in trouble? He's like, wait a minute, I don't work for the station. I can't be in trouble. Hi. So he goes in and the guy's like, you know what? I really like the way you sound. We're getting this nightclub is coming in and they want to do like an alt show. So if I can get you to try out on air at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, to just kind of sound like, because back in the day, they used to actually switch off the radio stations at night. So depending on where you are, it could be somewhere like midnight, they would turn it off and they would power it down. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, they would turn it on. Some little stations in the middle of nowhere still do that these days. Yeah. As well. Don't know.
I thought it was like an all night thing, right? Is it all night?
Generally it is. And normally like at my radio stations, it's just like programmed. So it's just like the music just runs automatically by itself all night. Sometimes
spoiler alert,
there's no one there. But anyway, so there is people there during the day most days.
Yes.
Anyways, so the guy's like, okay, you can do this. I want you to practice before I give you this nightclub gig. You got to be here at 2 a.m. So he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he was 16 years old and he told his parents, and their parents were like, absolutely not. No son of ours is going to be running around downtown Massachusetts, Cape Cod at 2 o'clock in the morning, blah, 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 blah. So at the age of 16, he actually moved out of his house, which is insane. And he was an only child. So I'm like, that's pretty, like, I don't understand why his parents, whatever, but you know, he did it. He had the gumption. He's like, well, I'm going to do it. No idea how he was able to afford it. Maybe rent was a heck of a lot cheaper back then. Who knows? So the first night that he had his show at 2 o'clock in the morning, who calls him but Maurice Starr. So those who don't know Maurice, he's the one who put together New Kids on the Block. So he's like, hey, nice, can you play my music? So he would give him copies. So I guess Maurice tried to be a star himself, did not work that well, but Johnny was like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll play your music. So he would call him every week. So then Maurice was also in charge of these talent shows that he would do in Boston. So he wanted Johnny to invest. So he's like, listen, I'm going to do this talent show. I need 15 investors to each invest $1,000. And then you'll be like, and then that money will be used to record this record. And then you'll get a piece of the band type thing. So Johnny's like, yeah, I'm 16 and I don't have $1,000. So I can't.
Not at that time anyways.
At that time he did not. So he could not invest. So Maurice is, I guess, a little mad at him, but he's like, hey, whatever. So then the band that ended up winning that talent show was New Edition. And the song was Candy Girl. So they used the money to do that. So he missed out on being an investor in Candy Girl. So at this point, Michael interrupts and was like, Lance has some like weird story about you roller skating. I don't know what the heck he's talking about. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, I roller skated from Cape Cod to Orlando, Florida. So I just close this page. So I will reopen this page because I just want to show you how insane that is. Okay. So
yeah, I was like, wow, dude.
So his buddies had watched a movie about some guy who had like made a world record for wearing roller skates for 14 days straight. So they're like, yeah, let's do that. Okay, sure, whatever. So, okay. I'm going to just share this screen. So what he did, so he was also a DJ at a roller rink. And they decided, hey, we're bored. We need something to do. Why don't we roller skate from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, down to Orlando, Florida? And then they got them, they partnered with the March of Dimes. So I think they were raising money for the March of Dimes. And they just wanted to do this. So I'm just going to show the screen here.
It's a good cause. Why not?
Yeah, it's a great cause. And you're young and healthy and can whatever. So
yeah,
this is Cape Cod all the way up here. This is Orlando, Florida. So if you were driving in a car, it would take you 20 hours. If you were walking, it would take you 19 days to get there. Like, all the way through. Like, look at all this.
That is so crazy. That's
insane. And they did this on roller skates. So yes, that's crazy. So what they would do is the radio station that he was kind of working at, they would call in every morning and say, hey, we're in New York or we're wherever. And then they would do that. So the radio station would play these interviews and then it would help them raise money and stuff like that. And it actually schools would listen every day, and then they would talk about, they'd use it in lesson planning, being like, hey, look, Johnny and everybody are over here now. So it was a really cool thing to do. So yeah, so they definitely did that, and they did it in 14 and a half days. So just over 2 weeks to go all the way down the East Coast of the US, which is crazy. So
that's pretty fast considering it took 19 days.
Yeah, so it is, in case you're wondering, in miles, 1,397 miles. That, ma'am, I cannot walk 10 kilometers, so I don't understand how that's awesome.
But back then, everyone's like, let's
back just then, everybody go. Did work out and were healthy and all this other stuff. So yes, I do get that, but that's pretty crazy. So I've done 30K.
More power to them.
Yeah, so I've done the Around the Bay Road Race in Hamilton. It's the oldest, older than Boston Marathon. It's 30 kilometers. I did it twice. I believe it took about 5.5-6 hours each time because I walked. I don't run it because I am not a runner. But
but that's gonna let you walk it, right?
They've stopped that. They don't. Now they don't let people walk anymore. You have to do within 4 hours, which is lame because we would start early and we'd be on the sidewalks and then they would close off the roads. But anyways, that's a lot of exercise. So good to them. That's a pretty cool story. Okay, so then they started talking about, oh my god, you didn't get to invest in New Edition. And they're like, well, Maurice never had the contract for New Edition. So even though he had these people, these 15 investors with $1,000, he didn't actually have the contract with them, so he couldn't give them the money back. So basically, these mobster people or something came and stole New Edition from Maurice. It was very confusing. I feel like we need to
go. Yeah, that was like a weird story that I didn't really understand.
But anyways, he was saying like it was good that he didn't invest because he wouldn't have actually made any money from it. But
yeah.
So anyways,
it worked out well.
It worked out for him because then Maurice was like, well, screw you. You take New Edition, I'll make New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
And so he had a thing and somehow got Tiffany, said, yeah, we can open for Tiffany. So he contacted Johnny and was like, hey, I need someone to drive the tour bus, which they did not even have a tour bus. They just had like a camper van. And they're like,
because he didn't have the money, right?
Because he didn't have the money for that. So he's like, hey, Johnny.
Because you would think as a manager, you would have at least some money.
Well, he was, yeah, I don't know.
No, Maurice Starr wouldn't. Yeah, I thought Maurice Starr, but I guess not. Yeah.
No idea. So anyways, so Johnny's like, sure, I'll drive. And it was supposed to be like 3 weeks or something. And he ended up like working with them for like 3 years. So then, sorry, can you hear those sounds?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Like, can you hear these little beeps? Am I getting like,
no.
Okay, good. All right. Anyway, so yeah, so then he worked for New Kids on the Block for 3 years. And then Lance kind of compared it to when Britney opened for NSYNC, because I guess, so when New Kids was opening for, we all know that story, they opened for Tiffany, and then they became more popular than Tiffany, and then the following year, Tiffany opened for them, and it was a thing. So Lance was saying, I guess Britney opened for NSYNC for a while, and people, like, really hated her at the beginning, and she was, like, crying, and people were mean and stuff, and then Hit Me Baby One More Time became big on the charts, so by the time at the end of the tour, then Britney was, like, big, and it was just kind of, yeah.
It's
that.
Interesting so, how that works, right? Like you're on tour, you're the headlining tour, and then you become the second act, basically.
Yes, and that seems to be a like, thing because I feel like yes. That's brought up again later, but yes.
Yeah.
So then Lance asked, what is your first impression of NSYNC? So he said that BMG Germany was looking for artists. I think he said his name was Jan Boltz.
Yeah.
And they're working with Backstreet Boys. And then, so he had called Lou and was like, hey, do you have any other bands? Because BMG is looking for people. And he's like, oh, yeah, this guy, Chris, tried out for the Backstreet Boys and he made his own group, which is a lie because he definitely did not try out for the Backstreet Boys because Howie didn't tell him about it.
Yes.
Howie told the other guy about it. So,
which is great little tidbit from Howie's interview on Frosted Tips.
Yes, so funny because Howie's like, I didn't want to tell Chris, and then Chris and entertaining as hell. But anyways,
yes, it was
so,
very.
So Johnny said to Lou, "Okay, well, if you find a band, I have a record deal for them. So let me know." So 1 hour later, he's like, "Yes, yes, I found the band. Here it is. Here's Justin Timberlake's mom and stuff." So, kind of funny that Lou just magically made this band appear. And then one of the songs that they had recorded as their thing was a Backstreet song that they had done.
Yes.
And then also had a thing where I guess he would rewrite songs. And
yeah.
His own song.
So he rewrote a Take That song. Yeah.
Yes. And then and pretended that it was his. So yeah.
And then apparently Lou told them, oh no, you're not singing a Backstreet song. It's like a tribute to Backstreet.
Tribute. They're so impressed with the Backstreet Boys. They want to be like them. And Lance was like, we didn't even know who the Backstreet Boys were at that
point. I know. I was like, what?
So just Lou, just king of the bullshit, apparently.
Yes.
So Johnny's like, okay. So he flew out the day before these Jan Boltz was supposed to come. And he met Lance and Justin first. And Lance was like, he met them at that blimp warehouse that, you know, they did all the thing. And he's like 112 degrees. So he's like, okay, they're good. So the record label people came and they're like, okay, yeah, this is good. He's like, yeah, but before we sign them, we need two things. You need to change the name of the group and you need to get rid of Lance. And
then Johnny was like,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the name of the group, he thought that they wouldn't be able to say the name. And he's like, once they learn the name, they won't stop saying the name. It's fine.
True.
And then they said, no, you can't get rid of Lance. He appeals to the sensitive girl. That was his like thing. And they're like, okay, so could you imagine?
Which at the time was probably yes, but then.
But like literally Johnny had literally just met them the day before. So right. Like.
So he knows like how to spin it, right? Stuff. Like he knew.
But really, because other people had left that band first, right? You had Charlie Edwards and anyway, so it was just kind of funny. So like, really, I guess if Johnny wanted to sign them that bad, he could have just been like, screw you, Lance. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. Also, Johnny claims that he never knew that Lance was gay. And the first time he found out was with the People magazine article. He said the only suspicious once they were backstage at the It's Gonna Be Me music video in the dressing room getting ready. And Chris had made some sort of comment asking Lance if he was gay. And that was the first time where he was like, that's a weird thing for Chris to say, like whatever. But Johnny thought nothing of it because he was dating the hottest girl on TV, Danielle Fishel from
Seventh,
right? So,
and then he was saying if it was anyone, if it was going to be any girl, that was the girl, like she was the one. Because he felt like he was in love because he didn't know what love was. He thought that's what it was.
He thought that's what it was, and he knew he'd have to hide the gay part from his life because he was like a Baptist-y Christian guy, so... He's like, well, if I have to, then I'll marry her. But then, yeah. So, but he did say that she was like love of his life. So there you go.
Yeah.
Which I thought was sweet. I thought that was very sweet too. So yes. Sucks for her at the time, but I feel like she's doing well in life now. So she's good. Yes. And he's
married. Because she's married and has a child, no?
Yes. Possibly a few. Definitely one for sure.
Yes.
So then Lance said that the first time, his first connection to the whole Johnny Wright thing was in 1993. He camped out for tickets with his sister to see New Kids on the Block. So even though they had camped out for these tickets, they still ended up in the nosebleeds. But he was like looking at the stage, I guess not at the time, obviously, but he would have realized that a lot of the people that were working on the stage and the crew were people that he would end up working with later on. So he thought that was kind of cool.
Like a small world, right?
Yeah, small world, right? Because we move on to the next band. So then Lance asked Johnny if he knew that New Kids was ending. So Johnny said that he didn't see it coming. He said music was changing. And pretty much at that point in time, New Kids didn't like all the merch that they had up. He said New Kids on the Block toilet paper. I don't know if that's true, but there was a lot of stuff out there.
They had a lot of things. Like,
they had a lot of things.
You name it, they had it.
They had, like, you know, dolls. Yeah. And
like, and I could see how, like, it would be, like, too much after a while. But they made a lot of money.
That too, right? Remember?
Yeah. They made a lot of money, though. So that's why. And, like, he was saying, like, because fans still went to see them and they still made money, that's the reason that they try to keep going.
Exactly. You're a manager. You're selling shit. You want to keep selling shit. But essentially, the band decided they wanted to enjoy their life, and they wanted about a year and a half off.
Donnie was really into NWA, and then he's like, yeah, I don't want to do any more New Kids on the Block. Because he was changing rap and whatever.
So they were like, okay, we're just going to take a break ourselves, which obviously lasted a very long time. So Johnny was like the tour manager, but their actual manager was a guy named Scott. And he's like, oh, there's this band, Snap, in Europe. They need a tour manager. And Johnny's like, why do they need a tour manager? He's like, because the lead singer put the last one in the hospital. And he thought it was a joke, which it was not a joke in Italy.
So yeah, that's interesting.
He flew to London and met the lead singer, Turbo. So apparently Turbo tried to like intimidate him, but like Johnny was warned ahead of time. So Turbo was like, are you my next victim? And then Johnny was like, you're my next victim. And they're like, okay, I like this guy. So then he worked with Snap for a bunch of years, got to kind of travel all over the world, places that they wouldn't have gone before. And then also got to go to Germany through that. So then while he was in Germany, he made some connections and they flew Backstreet Boys out. I don't know how he knew how he was working. I think he was working with Backstreet at that time. So they wanted them to open for this band called Caught in the Act, who lip sync, which is pretty funny for a name for the band that. You know. So they're like, yeah, sure. So they went out and then they, for 2 weeks, so they were supposed to be on this tour. But then everybody was so impressed with them and the fact that Backstreet were singing live that they got kicked off the tour because, the fans were going for them instead of the main act they were supposed to go for, right?
Yes.
So it kind of got big. And then NSYNC came. And then he said, even though there was no social media, fans did already start taking sides already in Backstreet and NSYNC. And then they thought that was kind of weird because in Germany, there's like hundreds of boy bands, and like everybody just likes all the boy bands. So he thought that was kind of weird that they were kind of taking sides. So they decided to do like a basketball game, a challenge for the children. The first yes. one in Germany. And they were going to mix the teams. So there would be like 3 and 2 or whatever. But then for some reason, it was all Backstreet and Lance, and then all NSYNC and AJ. So Lance said that he had a great day being on Team Backstreet because they were treated like kings. And they were like,
because apparently if you're first, like, you're royalty, but if you're like second, apparently you're not.
Amazing. This is so great. He's like, I don't know how AJ was on Team NSYNC, but we had a great time on Team Backstreet. Oh, Lance. And then that, of course, led to, like, Challenge for the Children in Miami, which Lydia and I had gone to the last one, I believe.
But that one was fun. I heard that was, like, really fun, right?
Those were really fun, right? So it's a whole bunch of celebrities and actors and athletes. Was a coach for one of them. And then for Germany, the head referee was Dennis Rodman.
Yes.
So he's like, yes. Yeah. So he's like this. They're talking about how like the athletes are very into this. And he's like, Lance doesn't give a shit about sports and basketball. But
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So the like the Miami ones and stuff, they had like, they would also do obstacle courses and other fun games. They really need to bring that back because that was a lot of fun. I would definitely go again.
Yeah. I think now that they're older, they could be like 3 and 2 and like mix everyone together.
You know that O-Town's going to get in there on that mix.
Yeah. Get all the Orlando
band. That would be super fun. Should talk to them about that. Yes. Okay. So then at this point, Johnny was saying that the Spice Girls and Hanson were finally like coming out in the US and they were exploding over there. So now it was the time to go home. So Lou had told NSYNC that they would be the first in the US. Yet another lie. Because obviously Backstreet Boys broke first in the US. So NSYNC knew that like whoever gets out first is going to get it because we're not going to have enough space for two bands because whatever. So because Johnny had started with Backstreet Boys and then moved to NSYNC, he said, which Backstreet Boy took it the worst?
I just say, I knew right away who it was going to be.
As soon as he said that and he was like hesitating, I'm like, Brian.
Yeah. Because even nowadays, when somebody brings up NSYNC, he's just like, yeah.
Still.
He just has something against them.
Anyway, so he said that Brian took it the worst. He felt that it was more of like they felt they were being betrayed. And then And Johnny said it was more, he thinks that a lot of it was because of him personally. Because I guess when he first started the Backstreet Boys, he had told them about how him and Donnie Wahlberg were like really close and they would bond over this song. And then when the Backstreet Boys, so then Brian ended up finding the song. He's like, Johnny, come, like, I have the song. And then they would listen to the song and stuff. So then Brian thought that Johnny was spending more time with Justin Timberlake and thought that he was being replaced. So I'm paying more attention. So Lance thought that when like Backstreet and NSYNC are coming out, he thought it would be more like a Motown Records. And
yes.
Like, a family type environment, like, yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of boy bands. We're going to do all this great stuff together and all this stuff. And Johnny,
when they said the Motown people would like tour together, could you imagine a Backstreet and NSYNC tour back then?
That would have been great. Yeah, that would be
crazy. I would have loved it.
So yeah, I guess with Motown Records, they would just like certain members from the bands would tour with each other or certain groups would tour with each other. And it was just like a whole big, like, hey, we're all from Motown Records. So,
But then he was saying that Lou divided them and that's why it's like,
so Johnny said that was the plan originally. That was going to be the plan. They're going to have that. Then somehow it ended up not being that way. So at the time they were like, okay, we got NSYNC, we got Backstreet. Someone's going to sign NSYNC, so we might as well sign them so then we can control the narrative and what's happening. And then, so that's what they did. And then the Disney special thing. So this is interesting because we've always heard from Backstreet lore, I believe, that they said that, oh, you know, we were tired and we didn't want to do it. We were busy and stressed and blah, blah, blah. That is not what Johnny Wright says at all. So what Johnny says... so it said the Disney special messed that up. So they said that the Backstreet Boys had just been on the cover of Rolling Stone. So that was like legitimate to them. They're like, we're grown-ups, we're real, Rolling Stone.
They're serious.
We're serious artists. So why would we go on the Disney Channel? That's for kids.
That's going backwards.
We have like, we're on Rolling Stone, Billboard magazine, all the other things. Why are we going to go to the stupid kids special?
Which at the time they did say, like, we're not a boy band, we're a vocal harmony group. And back then it was like a big deal to them.
Yes, because they wanted to be legitimate. I feel like Kevin would probably be one of those people who would want to be legitimate. I don't know. I'm not going to name names, but
probably. But we know all that.
We know all that. So anyway, So they didn't do that. So obviously NSYNC. So, and when Johnny was working for NSYNC, he told them that he would not pit them against each other. That was his main thing. He's like, yes, I'm helping them out too, but I'm not going to make you guys fight against each other. So then Backstreet dropped out, so he had to make the thing. And then another person on the team is the person who suggested that NSYNC fill in. So he's like, oh, good. Somebody else suggested them, so I don't have that on my conscience. I'm good, whatever. So the day before the Disney special, when they were rehearsing, he showed up, and the Disney lady is like, what the fuck are you doing here? I thought, and he's like, oh, I also manage NSYNC. And she's like, if I knew that, I would not have hired them.
So apparently they didn't get along. Like, I wonder what happened there.
She was probably pissed because she thought the Backstreet thing was going to be a sure thing. And now these NSYNC guys, maybe, who knows, right? So
that was
kind of funny. So she's like, she definitely wouldn't have had them if that she knew that Johnny was involved, whatever. So then the Disney special aired daily for 2 months. And so NSYNC was like number 66. So they eventually jumped Backstreet Boys on the charts and made it to number 2. They
did because BSB was 4 and then they were 2.
Yes. So
and they're like, we just cannot get the number 1 spot.
Yes. So that was some animosity there. But, you know.
Yes.
Okay. So then.
I remember watching that special because I feel like Much Music played a whole bunch of things.
They did, because I remember looking at Chris's outfit and being like, why are you wearing that? But yet I'm strangely attracted to you.
and then they would show like them doing things.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. So it would be like
going to an aquarium possibly.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, good news, people. I recently found that Disney special on YouTube, so we are going to watch it for an upcoming episode. So if you have any favorite parts of that, write in the comments, and then we will be sure to mention it, hopefully, during our...
Because I did watch that back then. As you know, I loved both, and then I had to choose, so I obviously chose Backstreet Boys.
You did. Yes. To the detriment of your friendships.
That is right. Okay. My friendship apparently did not matter. It did not survive.
I did not, for shame. Anyways, but yes, we are definitely going to watch that special and we will report back about it and see if it's exactly how we remembered it or not, because I only vaguely remember things.
Yeah, I vaguely remember some things as well.
I also remember really always watching, it was called NSYNC in the Mix. It was a VHS tape I had. And I feel like it was the same type of format where they were like talking in between and stuff.
Yeah. They did songs, the concert, and then they talked again. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, maybe we should, if I can find my VHS player, we should watch that too.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way we're going to see NSYNC in concert. Get back together, damn it. Okay, sorry. Okay, moving along. So they were talking about back in the day, to promote a band, you would have to go to radio stations and go to like a bunch of radio stations. Now they do not, which is really sad. As a person who works in a radio station, I would like some more artists to come visit me because it's sad and lonely without you. Please come back.
Because they were saying that if you get like a million followers, they think that they made it.
Yes, exactly.
Or if they get like paid $25,000 to be like an influencer on Instagram, they think they made it. But then when you try to sell a 1,000-seat venue, you sell 75 tickets, and then that's not good.
Exactly, for sure.
So you're not as popular as you think.
So social media followers are inflated, and they do not translate into buying tickets in person.
Yes.
But then he also, the other side of that, is that you need to have as many streams to get on the radio. So you need to have like hundreds of thousands and millions of streams for you to get noticed by the radio stations. Mm-hmm. But how do you get noticed if you don't like, so it's kind of like a catch 22 type thing, right?
Yeah. And then he brought up Taylor Swift, which I thought was interesting mm-hmm. point that if you make a connection with your fans, they will stay with you for a long time.
Yes, because Lance had asked which artist is doing it right. He said Taylor Swift. She started with radio and TV. She stays engaged with her fans on social media, and it really like helps her keep going. So yeah.
Yeah.
And then he had also mentioned that he didn't mention the name of the band, but there was like a teen tour with social media people that were doing like a thing. So he sold tons of VIP meet and greet upgrades for the pictures. So the kids took their pictures and then didn't stay for the show. So they literally just went, did their meet and greet so they could like get social media clout and then didn't even stay.
Like, which is weird.
Like if you're there anyways, you might as well stay. Like, wow.
Yeah. Cause like that's part of the experience.
Yes.
The meet and greet and then the show, like the show is the main event.
I wonder if that's why a lot of these meet and greets, for example, Joey McIntyre is coming to Toronto next week.
Yeah.
He has VIP upgrades and even O-Town. You have to have a ticket for the show before you can get a VIP. You can't just get a VIP. So
BSB does it now too.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Because all these meet and greets are now happening inside the venue. So mm-hmm. you need to get, so, you know, not a bad idea. Cause I guess if they're not going to stay for the show, at least you've already sold the ticket to them. Right.
Yeah.
So weird. So Lance asked how important is radio, and Johnny said that it is still an indicator that you're a legitimate artist.
Yes.
But social media is very important. So then he asked him how he met the Jonas Brothers. So at this time, Johnny was looking into getting into the Christian music scene. And his assistant said, hey, there's this guy, Nick Jonas. He's performing on a TV show in the morning tomorrow at 5 a.m. You should go check him out. His brothers are the backup for him. So he's like, okay. So he went and checked him out. And he's like, okay, it's pretty good. So he was already signed to a label. As a solo Christian artist. So he was friends with the label guy, and he's like, listen, we're getting rid of this Christian division, whatever. Should I just drop this Nick Jonas? And then he said, no, he has two brothers. You should make them into a band, sign them as a band. And then that way they'll be like the next Hanson. Cause like that's the same basic type of thing. And then so he talked to Nick and the dad about it. Nick's like, yeah, that's fine. I'll do this with my brothers to get my foot in the door as long as I can then go make a solo album afterwards. And Johnny's like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. Then they got signed, and then the guy that was in charge of them ended up getting fired. So now they were just kind of like in limbo. This happened to Serial Joe too, because they got signed to like, I know I haven't talked to them about them in a while. There's my high school band, Serial Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to an American record label, same thing. We're going to start releasing stuff, and then their person got fired, and then they were like, oh, we can only keep one Canadian rock band, so is it going to be Serial Joe or Sum 41? So then they ended up dropping Serial Joe and keeping Sum 41. So you're like, okay, well. Is the music
it worked out in the end?
Yeah. You never know how things are going to go.
That's true. It could have been Serial Joe. 50-50
chance. 50-50
chance.
Anyways, so this label ended up not doing anything with the Jonas Brothers. So they were just kind of sitting in limbo. So then Johnny went to the label and was like, listen, you guys aren't doing anything with them. Please drop them and I will take them somewhere else. And they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. So they dropped them. So then he took them to Hollywood Records, which again is a part of the Disney family.
Yeah.
And that worked really well for them because they also did a very similar thing.
They had a TV show.
They did have a TV show. They were on like a couple of shows like Hannah Montana and things like that. And so that worked really well.
And they did Camp Rock.
They did Camp Rock. So yeah, so it worked for them.
Yeah.
So then they did a quick chat about Aaron, which was, so Johnny met Aaron at Lou's house. There was a party. The doorbell rang. Aaron and
for Jay AJ's birthday, I think he said.
Sorry?
I think he said for AJ's birthday.
Yeah, it was one of their birthdays. Yeah. And then so they open the front door. Jane and Aaron are there. Aaron is 9 years old in a 3-piece suit. Hi, I'm Aaron. And then just walked through the house and then jumped directly into the pool in his 3-piece suit. He's like, that kid's cool. That's a cool kid. So
What a kid.
So yeah. So then he's like, okay, I like him and stuff. Then Aaron was super sad because Nick and the Backstreet Boys were going on tour in Germany in the summer. And he was like, I'm not going to be able to see my brother, blah, blah, blah. So he went to Gary Carolla and was like, hey, can you test out if Aaron can sing? So he tests. He's like, I just want to do a cover of Crush on You. So they did. And it worked. And he's like, okay, cool. So then he's like, called up the promoter in Germany and was like, hey, I want to take Aaron on tour with the guys. And the promoter's like, I have no money. And he's like, that's okay. Can we bring him anyway? He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. So then he got some twins and they went on tour in his first show.
Were the backup dancers.
Twins were the backup dancers, yes. 16,000 people. The crowd loved him. He did 3 shows in Germany. And then they got 4 record deal offers in like 3 days. So then he started doing it. And one of the main things that he said that he loved about being a performer was the stuffed animals, which they said stuffed animals, but I'm pretty sure it was the Beanie Babies that he was collecting.
Yeah, I think it was what, yeah.
And then Lance made a really weird comment about how only Germany throws stuffed animals on stage. I'm like, I don't think so, man. I feel like I saw that.
I think back in the day, like everywhere.
Everybody did, but maybe it was a bigger quantity of items.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah.
But I definitely remember seeing people throw their...
Yeah, I feel like they threw a whole bunch of things.
You know, underwear.
So back in the day. Maybe not underwear because...
Maybe not underwear, yes.
Because we're teenagers, but...
Definitely, you know. We definitely still threw stuff in North America.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe it was just more in Germany. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Johnny was talking about he was on tour in Russia with the Jonas Brothers. And I guess they have a song in the song, they have something called like about a plane. So during that part, all these paper planes were thrown on stage and he's like, what the fuck is going on? So,
is that part of the song? Yeah, I didn't get that.
I don't know what song it is.
But that's like, that's cool moment, I guess, you know.
There's this Canadian country artist called Johnny Wright and he sings something about a dime and people throw dimes at him on stage.
Oh, wow. That's not too...
And I want to say it was the Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
And they had said that people were like throwing some bras or something, but some guy, they made a joke or something about, oh, we really love dirty socks or something. So then everybody started taking off their socks and whipping it on the stage. And they had this big pile of like dirty socks.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah.
Say that to people like the stinks, like whatever. Right. So.
To show that people will throw whatever you want.
You know what? I threw shit at Cyril Joe too. I got this gigantic bra this one time and I went to Spencer's Gifts and got those like, it was like fake pills. They were candy, but it was, I can't remember what it was for. So I wrapped it up and I went to go throw it on stage and I have terrible aim and I thought it would just land on the stage. Well, did I not friggin' throw it and hit the guitarist in the hand on the guitar? And I was like, oh God. And
like, you stole the guitar?
That. I was just like, just like ducked after. It's like, not me. Totally wasn't me. What are you talking about?
That's so funny.
I do. Yes, you can definitely throw shit on stage. So.
Yeah. We'll throw whatever.
Oh, kalidokali. So where am I? So then Lance was like, how come we didn't get to go to Australia? And he's like, because it costs too much money. And we were better at making money in the US, so we didn't need to pack up all of our shit to go to Australia.
Because wasn't anything more like North America and Backstreet was worldwide?
So apparently, yes. So he's like, listen, we were doing enough. He's like, and it was moving so fast in the States. They went from like arenas to stadiums and stuff. So they like, there was no need to leave the country because just by going back and forth and making new albums and promoting and stuff.
And you also have like so many states in the US, like, you had like to go all over to get everywhere. So they didn't bother. Yeah.
So it's like, it wasn't worth their time and effort to go to Australia. And then they started talking about how they had all the bells and whistles for their shows and including the mechanical bulls that cost $50,000 each.
And then Johnny Wright is like, I told you guys.
I told you guys, do not buy these. That's $150,000 of mechanical bulls. And then...
And then he sold it or he gave it away to somebody?
I think he donated it to a bar or something.
Yes, a bar.
Is at Hard Rock, but it's in storage because they don't have it out and stuff like that. So, yeah. So that's when they learned about recoupable expenses and how they had to pay things back. So even though Johnny tried to tell them, they're like, no, no, we're going to have lots of tours. We'll just keep reusing these. And then they did not. But he's like, but you know what? It looked really good at the time. So
who can predict the future, really?
There you go. So then Lance is like, so what does a manager do on a day-to-day basis? And he's like, well, I'm kind of like a traffic cop. You schedule things.
Like, yeah, making sure people get their on time. Needs
to be cut. They need to make sure, shoot music videos, fight with the label, make talk to the radio stations, find sponsors to help pay for things like Chili's sponsorships and stuff. And apparently, like, the Bye 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 music video costs $2.7 million to shoot. So
wow.
Like going around trying to find money and things like that. So they kind of just handle the artists and like talk to them and things like that.
$2.7 million, that's a lot. Wow.
Apparently,
that's more than Backstreet, that's a lot larger than life.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, is that the one that also had a train? So I feel like had to in the fancy car and stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. So then Lance was saying, like, Johnny, you're like super calm all the time. Have you always been calm? And he said, no. And when he was with Snap, he used to scream a lot. But then
probably because of that guy's influence.
Yeah. So you had to like kind of match the personality of that guy. Yeah. And he ended up doing something in the States with some radio station. And then the record label called and yelled at him. And he's like, oh, I don't like how that feels. I don't want to be the person that's yelling at other people. So now he's taking a more calm approach after that. And then he's like, how did NSYNC end up opening for Janet Jackson? So he said, Usher couldn't do 10 days of the tour. And then someone had contacted them and said, hey, do you want NSYNC to do it? So they kind of laughed and was like, that's kind of weird, a weird combination. But then they're like, you know what? This is a different like audience. So it would help promote you guys better. So they did. And then MTV had approached them to do a song with Janet Jackson. So they're like, you know what? This is good. If you do this song with Janet for this Icons thing, then it makes sense if you're on tour with her and stuff. And then they said that it was a great learning experience. They sold more merch than her during those days.
Yeah.
And then Lance was really excited that Janet actually knew their names, not them as NSYNC, that knew their individual names. Yeah. And he thought that was a great learning experience for them in the future for when they were going on tour to learn like their opening acts and making them feel welcome and stuff like that. Then he was talking about how they did the Michael Jackson tribute show, but it was also the week of 9/11. So it was kind of gone.
Because it wasn't like a tribute to Michael Jackson. And then it
was a tribute to Michael Jackson with a lot of different celebrities were there. But then it turned out that Michael was also performed. So he actually got to see him perform. And he said he was like tearing up and watching how professional and amazing he was. So
he performed with Britney. I remember that.
Yeah. So that was that. So then Lance said, are there any artists that you know that surround themselves with too many yes people? And then so they kind of mentioned Britney, and they said that the thing with that was that after a while, because she wasn't really pulling a lot of her own strings, but then she started like wondering who she was allowed to trust and who was just using her, which is a legitimate thing in this business, right? So he's like, she doesn't realize is the people that are there from the beginning are the ones that you can trust, and the people that come in later are the ones that are the ones, the shady people, right? So he said that the last time he saw her, the Jonas Brothers first MTV Awards. So they're like, oh my God, it's Britney Spears. So he's like, yeah, I'll introduce you. So he went to go introduce the Jonas Brothers, but she was surrounded by bodyguards, which were not the bodyguards he put in place. So it was like a whole new set of them. And it was kind of shady, but then Britney's like, no, it's Johnny. So then they hugged, and that's the last time Johnny saw her. So years ago, they wish her all the best. A memoir in October, I believe. So
Sorry, were you going to mention that Lance and Michael were talking with Britney's people to because Britney wanted to see the kids?
Yeah. So he says that Britney's people have reached out to them through their people, and then they just stopped following through. So she's like, okay, but they won't pass on Lance's information to Britney, so they haven't actually made this connection yet. So
yeah, so like even though the conservatorship is over, she can't really use the phone still, or
I don't know. I just, maybe her people are just kind of like policing. I don't know who her people are. So I don't know. But it was weird because her people reached out to him. They said, yes, we would like to hang out. And then
yeah, it was just like very strange. I don't know how.
Yeah, I feel like when you're at a certain level of celebrity, you don't want your number to get out or whatever. But her and Lance were really close.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like wondering, like, can she not like get his information and she can like go call?
Maybe she doesn't even know that her people reached out to him. Who knows?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. Yeah, but, I just like wish her well. I hope she does, you know.
Yeah, I think they were neighbors at some point as well, and also apparently they're like 19th cousins or something like that. They have like a
because like a sixth grandpa something like that. Like that. Yeah. Okay, cool. They both they lived 45 minutes away in Mississippi, something like that, right?
Yes, something like that. Yeah. Like, okay, sure. Okay, and then they were talking about there's rumors that she's never going to perform again, and then Johnny was like, when she did the Lady Marmalade, he said that was really good, and maybe she needs to do something like that where the pressure's not all on Britney, and that she's a, like a group of other strong female artists, and then they can do something
together. Which is a good idea, because then she can have fun, like
especially if you're like easing somebody back in, and then
yeah. Like,
so that would be cool if they would do that.
Because Lance was like, there's no way that she would stop performing because she loves it so much, right?
She's been doing it since she was 4 years old, right?
So, yeah.
So then Lance asked, how important was it for us to have a clean image? And were you able to tell the media like what to say or not to print or whatever? Did you have the power to tell them what to do? And he's like, it wasn't specifically like a clean cut image, or that wasn't the thing. But the main thing is that they didn't want you to be attached. You wanted to always be obtainable so that girls could like, oh, yes, he's single. So and then he was like, I was very good at that, being attached. That was pretty funny. So he's like, but now the mentality of teen girls is they want them attached because it's more of a challenge to steal them away. And I was like, that's weird. And then so then Lance asked, what is the common denominator of fans, like with all these different groups that you've seen? And he's like, essentially it's like fans when they become a family, and it's a love fest when the artist is interacting with them as well. So like,
she brought up Taylor Swift again.
Yes, he did. So he says like devotion not for certain. So it, oh god, I can't see what this says. Essentially he was saying how if you don't have a fan interaction, you're either going to move on. So if you do interact with your fans and you care about them and stuff, then, you know, they will reciprocate and want to be part of this family thing, right?
And that's when they brought up the Backstreet Boys.
Taylor again, and then he also brought up the Backstreet Boys as well, that they were good at that. And it says...
Yes. Oh, can I just say, sorry.
Yeah.
Because he was saying that, look at the Backstreet Boys now, like some of the biggest shows they've done in places that they haven't performed yet. And that's because of the fan connection they've made from the beginning, exactly. Which is very true.
Yes.
Because that's we still exactly. go to shows, mm-hmm. regardless if they're on the radio there's or a not.
New album or not, right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So that's how he said, how do you break new artists? He's like, it depends what success means to you. He said that the chart position is no longer important. So the big thing is to build a fan base with a good foundation. That's where you talk about Backstreet doing it well.
Yeah.
He's also talking about new artists need to drop music every 4 to 6 weeks. And then the algorithm is very important, consistency of having music out. He said back in the day they would release an album, it would be in like a Target for like 90 days, then it would go to the bargain bin for like 30 days, and then it would be gone. But he's like, with streaming services, the music is always there. So if your third song is your hit single, like, okay, this is great, then people are gonna be like, oh look, they have other songs, and then they go back and listen to the other songs.
Yeah.
So your songs are still there. And then they were talking about less albums and less filler songs and more like new songs.
That's why like BTS did like six or seven songs for that one album that we did a review of.
Yeah. Some artists don't do albums anymore. They just release the song. So
yeah.
Okay. So then Lance was like, why didn't we ever win a Grammy? And then Johnny was like, oh, I'm like, I didn't realize NSYNC also had the same problems as Backstreet.
I know. Right.
But essentially he said that your peers choose it, and if you don't write your own music, that's kind of a problem there. So he's like, for example, Steely Dan could sell 500,000 copies of an album, and NSYNC could sell 5 million copies, but if Steely Dan wrote the songs and produced it and stuff like that, that's why they're going to give the Grammy to them.
Which I guess so.
I was like, you know what? That is a very good point. That is a good point.
But also, you should just give it to them now.
But then Lance was like, but don't you feel like the Grammys are like using us, like having us perform and then we don't win? Because usually when people perform, they win and whatever. And he's like, you know what? Performing on a big event like this, it's good exposure. So,
yeah. You know. He was saying like, it's good to be nominated at least because at least you have that by your name. And Lance was like, no, we wanted to win.
He's like, I want to put my thing on the shelf, right?
Exactly. Yeah, which I get. Like, I get both ways. Like, yes, it's good recognition, but also, like, you work so hard, you want to have that as well.
Exactly, for sure. So now Johnny is newly married. So the way that he handles that is he's limited to the number of artists that he's managing. His most proud achievement is his kids. His most proud achievement in business is that he's been in the business for almost 30 years and he's blessed with so many talented people. Oh, and that he's worked with and that he feels that he has been in charge of most of the musical teen millionaires. He's like, I don't know where their money is now. I was not their business manager, but I helped them get to where they needed to be. So I thought that was kind of fun.
I think most of them did pretty well still, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Most of them got screwed over by their other managers.
Yeah, but I think they still have money, so that's good.
There you go. So then Lance asked for tips for people who want to work behind the scenes. So he's like, okay, you need to know that you're going to have no life. You have to be patient. He's like, artists do not understand the business. You need to guide them to say what they want and explain why things are working or don't. He says, do not join a management company. To find your artist first and build the relationships that way. And then go to a management company.
Yeah.
Right. But at least you have that. So then they were talking about K-pop.
That was a very interesting question.
Yes.
He's like, hi. What do you think about North?
This is my nephew, Henry.
He's just, hello.
He has a podcast. He has a YouTube channel about appliances. Henry's Appliance Talk. If you want to check that out.
Yeah. Did you get the furniture with your mom and dad?
Okay, bye.
Sorry.
I was just like, I have the headphone in, so you can't.
Right. You're right. Sorry. You know how it is. You just start talking.
Yes. Okay. So we're almost done, guys. Cool. We're at 111 minutes. Okay, so he's like, what do you think that Lance was like, do you think that K-pop is going through like getting screwed over and stuff? So Johnny's like, I can only talk about the ones I know. He's like, BTS became partners, so they got a piece of the money. So he's like, I feel like BTS is doing well. He's like, I'm not sure about the others, but they know going in.
Right, because it's in the contract.
It's in their contract. He's like, it's like playing a character at Disney World. You're going to get paid the same amount of money regardless of how many people go to Disney World that day. Yeah. They know it. If they don't like it, then they can move on after that, and they'll just replace them with more characters.
Yes.
So Lance said, well, the UK, so he's like, K-pop, like Korea is like killing it with all the boy bands right now.
Yeah,
he's South Korea, sorry. Do you think that UK or America will ever see this again? So then Johnny's like, well, funny you should mention that. I have a new band. It's called No Lonely Hearts.
Which is an interesting name.
It is an interesting name. He said he's putting them through like kind of like the Lou experience, like working out in the, I don't know if it's actually in the blimp warehouse or if they have
air conditioning. Yeah, he's like boot camp. I was like, okay, hopefully it's not in like a hot warehouse. Like, come on.
So he's like, you have to find the right song. And then Lance was like, how hard is it to find like the one hit? And then he was talking about how Max Martin in the day was like amazing and was able to write all these songs and there's nobody really like him right now.
So, yeah, like, cause that's the good thing about like Backstreet and NSYNC, right? They got Max Martin and that like catapulted them to stardom.
Yes, for sure.
And, okay. Yeah, like who else could they possibly get? Like, I don't think
there's anyone like that. Could still write stuff. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if he wanted to. Yeah.
Sorry, my nose is really itchy.
Me too, for some reason.
Okay, try. All right, so this is where he said that he signed 98 Degrees 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So now he has the boy band trilogy. Yes, so he has all the big bands.
Sorry, I got excited. I don't know why.
It's like Shane Dotown, but yes. But he had
back. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. You're like Shade to O-Town. I didn't even like think it was Shade to O-Town.
Oh, it's because 90 Degrees is more popular. But anyway, yeah. So he has Backstreet Boys. He's worked with Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and now 98 Degrees, which is, yeah, look at them.
Yay! They're a fun guy.
So now his new band is called No Lonely Hearts. They have a song called Call Me Back, which came out on June 20th. I have not heard that yet, but it's there. So then there was some fan questions. So the favorite Aaron Carter story, so he said the first day that he met him, but then also the How I Beat Shaq music video.
Oh, that was a fun one. Have
like a fake Shaq type person, but the real Shaq was like, yeah, I'll do it, sure, whatever. So he's like, Aaron was beaming that day and he had like a really great day shooting the video. And then
yeah, Shaq like seems like such a fun guy.
He does, yes. And then that's Lance brought up that the very first NSYNC songs were actually recorded in Shaq's studio. So he has a studio on site. So he did that
at his house. Cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then somebody asked what Johnny's favorite NSYNC memory is. And he said the No Strings Attached opening with the huge puppets that they like planned that and they went to something else. And then he's like, then apparently they were eventually sued by the puppet maker guys because of Joey. Because I guess he went to lunch with them and they said, hey, we want to do this bugaboo thing. He's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And they took that to mean, yes, okay, we're signed up to do this, but it was not. He did not pass it through the other people. He did not get it. Yeah, so they sued them. Which is funny because did we not find that in one of your teen mags a little while ago?
Yeah,
so that's pretty funny.
That's very funny.
Okay, so. Which boy band was the hardest to manage? And then he very much hesitated on that and said that each band has its own challenges. But then he said if he had to pick one,
a lot of the things were similar in what they needed between BSB and NSYNC.
Yeah.
But then ultimately he said BSB because of the way the relationship ended.
Why do you sound different now? I feel like I can't hear you as well. I don't know if it's my audio or...
Okay, sorry, maybe I'm like,
I don't know. I have no idea. It sounds like a little echoey, but anyways.
So he chose BSB ultimately because of the way the relationship ended.
Yeah, so at the end with the Backstreet Boys, there was some animosity, so that's probably the hardest there. And then...
I think it was like a little bit shady the way in the Ragon era.
Yeah.
Because I think at that time Justin Timberlake was like being like superstardom.
Okay, yeah. So it kind of sounded like,
okay, I'm gonna just go to Justin because I don't have time.
And I feel like Johnny said something at the end as well, like if I'm gonna go to them, I'm gonna crush you or something. I don't know. He said something, and I was like, okay, so I guess that would be a little bit animosity at the end.
I think because it was like fully with NSYNC. So, like, he said, if I'm going to go with them, then I'm going to crush you. So, basically, yeah. He's telling the truth.
So, I can see why they would take a little bad. There you go. So, then
because
Lance asked.
Very honest, apparently.
He was very honest.
Straight up, yeah.
Yep. So, he asked what he's binging. Apparently, some show called Beef and another show called Power for music. A lot of old school music. Anything out of the 70s, Chicago, The Weeknd, he thinks is a younger, like a younger version of Montel Jordan. And then
he changed his name to his original name. His
racial name, which is Abel something. I can't remember.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I didn't even realize. I thought he was still The Weeknd.
Well, yes. So his suggestion is to support all the music out there. And he said, support the music that your kids like. And then at the very end, he's like, hey, Lance, would you, because then Lance was talking about some of his other podcasts that he has. And he's like, hey, Lance, would you go to space? And he's like, yes, but only in the like the Russian Soyuz, because that's what he's trained on. He wants to go to the International Space Station. He's like, he would not do one of those like Jeff Bezos 45-minute flights in space for like $20 million. Unless it was free. He's like, if it was free, sure, whatever. But if I'm going to go to space, I want to actually go and do projects and do things like that. So, yeah. So that's basically it. There you go. So that's Frosted Tips with Lance Bass.
That's the first episode, because they did one with Johnny Wright interviewing Lance.
Right. So Johnny was interviewing Lance on that one. So you can go check that out. There's some interesting things there as well. And
I don't know. Are we going to do that one? We may do that one in the future, possibly, if we have time.
Maybe we'll pick somebody else. I don't know.
Yes.
Lots of good episodes there. So go check them out. So that's Frosted Tips with Lance Bass. And check us out. Subscribe to us. YouTube.com/boybandbreak. And so if you want to.
All the links are in our link tree.
In our link tree, we have a boy band break. So check us out. If there's anything you want us to talk about or cover or watch and talk about, let us know. We'd be very happy to do some episodes. There you go. Okay, guys. Thanks for taking a break with us.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.